All right, River Valley Church, are you ready for some teaching today on prayer? So good. Hey, I want to welcome you. First of all, thank you for coming to church today. I'm campus pastor, Pastor Allen, and I am so glad that you have joined us at River Valley Woodbury here today. And listen, shout out to Pastor Rob for being able to give every opportunity, our lead pastor at our church, that gives campus pastors opportunity to preach today. And I love being able to preach. We do this about every 6 or so weeks, us campus pastors have a chance to share a heart. And we should, because it's a great opportunity to be able to speak to our congregation and just have a great opportunity to connect. And so I hope you're enjoying the summer nights. I know I am. They're just getting started and it's a good time. Last night, my son and I sat around the fire, and it brought me back to a memory as I was thinking back. That's the fire we built last night. And I remember I asked my son a few years back. I said, "Son, I said, do you know how to build a fire?" And I was waiting for him to say, "No, Father, teach me your ways, oh great one." And I said, "That's the right answer. I thought I trained him up well." And he goes, "Yeah, Dad, it's easy." I go, "What? It's easy?" And he goes, "Yeah, you just go to the wall over there, you flick the switch and it turns on just like that." And I was like, "What? No, parent fail. I'm the worst dad of the year." I said, "No, son, there's a right way to build a fire, and it's going to be done. It's going to be done our way." And so I said, "We're going to the woods." So we went out to the woods and we camped out. And we went in and we roughed it in the woods when I stopped by the guard shack and bundled up wood and saran wrap and brought it over to the campsite. And we were roughing it in my tent that sleeps 8 people because I wanted a lot of room. And we had a great time being out in the wilderness. And it was his 13th birthday. And I said, "We're going to go light a fire." I go, "We're going to man up and light this fire." And so I brought my handy stick, that, you know, the little lighter, my Bic lighter stick that you go out. But we got I said, "We're going to go find wood and we're going to do this and we're going to do it the right way." So we laid the wood right, built this fire, and it was an incredible time. And my son and I get to sit around his fire. I said, "This is how you build a fire, son, 13 years old. And we had a great time. It was fun. And so I began to think about that as an illustration of just thinking like what prayer is. And prayer for that fire, I began to think like prayer is like a fire, because your prayer life is like that fire. You have to put logs on the fire or the fire will go out. You have to feed the fire. And when last night I took a snapshot of the fire that I built in my solo stove. I am one of their product reps. I know I am because I post about it all the time. And it's a thing. We watch the fire go down. I said, "Son, go get a log, put it on there." And he goes, "Yes, Dad." Boop, puts it right in. Goes in. It goes in the flare. The flames came hot again. And it was just a symbol of prayer that we have to feed the fire. That our daily prayer is like putting another log on the fire. We're continuing to be able to light a fire. We feed that fire. And God speaks through fire. God spoke to Moses as a burning bush in the middle of the desert. God comes down in consuming fires throughout the Bible. Leviticus chapter 6 talks about this. It says the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Why did they do that? Because in Leviticus 9, the priests would gather around and they would burn the sacrifice on the altar, and it said every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. I just love this idea that there is a desire to say there's a fire in us that's from God. Hebrews 12:29 says, "My God is a consuming fire." And when he gets a hold of our lives and he says, "Listen, I'm going to consume your life," but prayer is that opportunity. Just like the priest, it says, "It must not go." Every morning, the priest is to add the wood. That's what you're called to do. You're called to add wood to the fire. God has called you to be that living sacrifice, to put yourself on the altar. You know, we're in a charismatic church where we say, "Come to the altar." We're meaning come to a place that you can hunker down in and say, "God, consume my life." That's what we're saying. And so we might say, make an altar where you're at. We might say, come to the front, to the altar. Those are things to say. It's a churchy word, meaning draw close to God so God can consume your life And it says in Romans 12, you are the living sacrifice. Jesus is the once and for all Lamb of God died for our sins. But we become that living sacrifice that every day we say, God, consume my life. Or every day we're adding to that fire to be able to consume it, and so that we can see our prayer lives ignite. Now, we've been talking about ask, seek, knock. And as we're looking at this, our vision is called ask, seek, pray. We wrote a song about it. Asking is receiving. Seeking is that opportunity that you're going to find. And then knock, the door will be open. That's where we get the scripture from. And today we're looking at ask, seek, knock, or in other words, pray. And that's what we're looking at. I love what it says in ask, seek, pray, or in the scripture, ask, seek, knock, the door will be open. There's that intimacy that's there. And that's what prayer is. You know, prayer is just simply this, having a conversation with God. Stop complicating it. Stop making it difficult. Stop making it overly complicated. Prayer is conversation. That's why I love what it says in Revelation 3:20. Jesus, these are the words of Christ. He's like, here I am. And he goes, I stand at the door and knock. He says, I'm here. And he says this. He says, if anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come and eat with that person. They with me. Meaning, there's when God knocks on the door, he's like saying, I want to be with you. That's what prayer is. It's being with God. It's spending quality time with God. And God knocks. He knocks when a song lyric hits you a little differently. He knocks when a scripture verse says, hey, that scripture verse is hitting me really, really good right now. Throughout the sermon, one might hit you. When the preacher's preaching a message, there might be a part of it. Like, he's talking to me like I'm in the room. There's these different things that the Lord uses to knock and say, hey, I'm drawing you near. I love what it's Philip Yancey, he wrote a book on prayer. He says, the main purpose of prayer is not to make life easier, nor to gain magical powers, but to know God. And it made me think of Doctor Strange movie, because that's like, I'm a big Marvel fan, and I love Marvel Universe, and I just saw this show, and I'm looking at this going, saying, hey, you know what? This movie is like, people are flocking to it. And you're like, some of you guys are like, hey, nerd, no idea who that is. Okay, well, just chill out for a second. This is a spiritual thing. You see him, what he's doing there. He's kind of walking in this spiritual life. There's a hunger for spiritual things. There's a desire for spiritual matters. There's people want to know the spiritual world. And this whole movie kind of reflects a little bit of this, where Doctor Strange pulls back the curtain of reality and exposes the spiritual side of things. Don't tell me that people aren't hungry for that. They're not desiring that. We were down in Lake Calhoun the other night when we went down to go have a picnic, my wife and I, and it's like we drive by that same place that says Mystic, like the psychic house that's right down in Calhoun, and it's still there. It's been there since I was 18 years old, and it's still there, that there's people longing to connect spiritually. Prayer is that. You were made to connect with God. You were made to connect with God. And I know that God wants to connect with you. So listen, we do something around here. We always say, hey, we do this thing around here where we say, I love to do an outward expression of an inward desire. So a lot of times I'll say, hey, do something outwardly for your inward longing or desire. And so I want us to pray. And so you'll hear me say a lot, just open up a palm. Put for my Scandinavians, my Germans that are a little bit like this. Okay. And then we get those that say, put a hand out. And then you got us extroverts that are like, put a hand up, go for God. Doesn't matter. Hand out, hand up, whatever you want to do. So I want us to take a moment and I want us to do something outwardly to receive. And I want to pray into why. I mean, we're talking about prayer. We're going to pray right now. So would you just go ahead and do it outward? Whether you're here for the first time and you've been saying, hey, then guess what? If you don't know Christ, you must be here because you're longing for spiritualness. Then get ready to have a spiritual moment. If you know Jesus, this is how we do it. So would you go ahead and open up your life here for a moment? I want to pray into you. Just do that. Palm, hand out, hand up. Lord, right now, we're coming to you. Prayer. talking. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. I believe, God, you want to put logs on prayer lives. You want to inspire prayer lives beyond what you've been taught in theology school, beyond what you grew up doing in liturgical church, beyond what you've got, what you thought prayer was, just this quiet little moment for a couple minutes on a drive in your car before you get out and go to work or drive. No. Prayer needs to come alive. I'm calling fire of God, the fire of God to come in and consume us, Lord. We're asking right now for you, Jesus. It says that the Lord is the consuming fire. We're saying consume us right now. I'm saying for dads and moms, for prayer life to come alive, that you would pray differently over your kids. I'm asking for business men and women to pray into your business. I'm asking, when was the last time you went in before you met with a client, before you did an Instagram live, and you said, Holy Spirit, move through me. Holy Spirit, do something in me. Do something at my work. I'm asking for you to bring the clients and bring the provision, bring the job. I'm asking for you, Holy Spirit, to make a way when there is no way. Even though we can't see it, He's working. We're asking for that kind of faith to believe, the desire to see. I'm saying, I'm calling for the Holy Spirit to wake up us in the morning beforehand to put a log on the fire spiritually. I'm asking for those that in the middle of the day, the prompt that would come that would say, pray for that person, pray for it, go for it, just do it, see what happens, and see what God will do. In Jesus' name, move God. Amen and amen. Come on, let's go. Are you ready? I'm serious. It made me think of, you guys know I've got this awesome group of people at the gym that I always talk about because I'm surrounded by Christians all day in the church. So I like to go out and kind of meet non-Christians and have a blast with it. And I was at this, I was over talking with them, and there was this, there was one of the ladies that was there. She is works for the St. Paul government, and amazing, amazing woman, and her daughter just went in the hospital. And I'm sitting around, I'm in a circle, kind of talking to the people, and she says it. And you know what I did? I'm like, I'm going to pray right now. You know, you can pray anywhere. You can pray wherever God calls you to pray. You know, the Holy Spirit can tell. If you feel a prompt, do it. Just do it, and don't make it weird. The only way, I always say this, if you're a weird Christian, if you meet a weird Christian, it's because they were weird before they ever became Christian. You just got to, it's just work on your emotional intelligence. Well, you'll get there. It's like, pray, but you know, sometimes we think, well, I can't pray because I'm taught I'm supposed to close my eyes, and then everyone, and my server's going to be like, what's going on? Why are you closing your eyes? So I just love to pray in the middle of just spontaneous prayers. And so I pray with my eyes open, and I'll look at I saw her over in the circle. Her name is Nan. I'll call her. And I just said, hey, I want to pray. Nan, you just said your daughter was in the hospital, kind of touch and go kind of craziness circumstance she was telling us. I said, Nan, I just want to pray right now. I didn't say this, can I pray for you? I just started praying because people don't know they need prayer, but they do. If I really believe the God of the universe is the God of the universe and he really can come in and he can really bring bring peace and grace, right, into situations, then why are we praying more? Why aren't you praying more? I don't know, Pastor John. Okay, well, just do it. Do what I do. I just said, Nan, I'm just praying right now. Do we need more grace and peace, by the way, guys, in the world? Can we start there? Can we just make that a starting place in people's lives? So I just looked at her and I said, Nan, I'm praying. I want to pray right now for you. I just pray grace and peace. I'm kind of looking at her. She's looking at me and I said, I'm just praying that the Lord would bless you and that grace and peace would come. I know it's crazy right now with your family, but I just believe God's got something really special for you at the end of this. And I just know she's going to get through it okay. And it's going to be, because I really had that faith to pray it. I didn't know I was going to pray that. But it came out in that moment, and she starts crying, and she goes, thank you, that meant a lot to me. No one's ever prayed for me like that. And I don't know her faith history. I don't have to know it, because I know God wants me to pray. You could do that in your mom's group. You could just be at the neighborhood, just go to the neighbor and be like, you're grilling up, flipping burgers, you know what I mean? You're hanging at the grill, and the neighbor pops over, and it's like, hey, and he goes, yeah, my son's acting nuts. It's like, what's the problem? I don't know, he's got something wrong, and he's got emotional things. He goes, hey, well, let me pray for you. God, I pray for little Danny. I pray that you just start going. Give it 10 seconds. Release the kingdom of God. You're a carrier of the kingdom of God. You get to walk around carrying the presence of God with you. Because 1 Corinthians 6 says you are a carrier of the presence of God. And so I want to kind of hit on a couple of quick basics of prayer before we know what to pray for. And then we have a testimony at the end you're going to love. First, I want to just do a couple quick things. First, here's some prayer basics. First, God is for you. You got to know that God is for you. He's not against you. If you're a lover of God in this room and you know Jesus, you know that he's a father to you, you're a son. If you don't know God, you're like, my first time in church, I have never been to church, I don't know anything about Jesus. It's like, God loves you and he's for you and his love is for you. So he's for you in every sense of the circumstance. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say in response to these things? Meaning, the context of this, what Paul is saying, like, I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, not destroyed. It's crazy. Life's throwing a lot, man. And he says, well, what can we say in response? If God is for us, who can be against us? Meaning, no matter what life throws at you, God's always going to be for you. You're never going to be on the wrong team. I remember I walked in once, my son, my little cuties. I can't remember if my son or my daughter. I'll use my daughter for this one because I use my son a lot in illustrations. And my daughter, she was playing soccer on Capitol Hill. And it was really cool. We lived in Washington, D.C. for a few years. And when we were on Capitol Hill, we would play right up and off the Capitol. It was really fun. And I remember I was coming in from a church thing. The game just started. And I remember I kind of walked in. I'm like, where's my daughter at? She better be on the field, coach. All right. So I was like that. You dads know who you are. You act like that. And I'm just like, where is she? Okay, she made it on the field. Good. Well done, coach. Okay. All right, where is she at? So she's there. And all of a sudden, she did some massive play. And I was like, whoa, Anya, that's my girl right there. It's amazing. And I'm like trying to high five and everyone was just like, we're not the Tigers. We're like the Pumas. The Tigers over there. And I was on the wrong side of the team. So I was just like, what the heck is wrong with me? And so I was like, you guys aren't piling it on? Like, we're not piling on right now? What's happening here? And it's because I was on the wrong team. They were not for me. They were not for the Tigers. They were for the Pumas. I'm not for a Puma. I'm for a Tiger. So I had to go leave it and go where the people were for me and what I was going towards. God's like that. God's never going to leave you saying, God, pile it on. Where are you? He's not going to leave you hanging there because he's for you. It's a great thing. In the midst of difficulty, he's always for you. In the midst of great things, he's for you. He's always going to be. So God is for you. The next one, prayer's not meant to consume from God, but to commune with God. Come on, consumers, culture people, we get this. We're just like, God, I need this. I need you to provide for me for this because I need this by tomorrow because I want this for my life. I need this. God, I want this. I'm praying for this. Sometimes we think prayer is like that. So let me think prayer is consuming. And, you know, it's kind of like, and we think because it's a consumer prayer, kind of instead of communing with God, which we talked about earlier, we think that the reason why we don't have the answer we're having because is we're not doing the right prayer. And so God becomes a vending machine God, where we think like, okay, here's the thing. I need to hit F6 in prayer for God to circle in that little circle, spinny circle thing goes in and drops my prayer in the bottom and I get to pull out the prayer thing. I get to pull my answer for prayer in the bottom. You know what I mean? I think we got a picture of that, don't we, son? My son's rocking the slides back there. You know what that's like. You know, you're just like, I need to get this healing. So I better pray the right prayer. E6. Boom, boom, boom. So good. No, this is what we think God's like. God has not hit the right, you know, B7 to get your discernment gift so you can go rock it with God in your ministry. This is not how it is because God isn't about trying, you're not trying to get to consume, you're trying to meet to commune. And that's what God has. I love what Ian Bounds says. Prayer makes a godly man and puts within him the mind of Christ, the mind of humility, of self-surrender, of service, of pity, and of prayer. If we really pray, we'll become more like God, or else we will quit praying. That's saying when you commune with God, you're with him and you become more like him. Another one, prayer gives you the eyes to see into what you don't see. That's what I love about it. Prayer gives us opportunity for you to peel back the curtain and see what's available. I love this. Daniel chapter 10 talks about this. When Daniel prayed that the angel came and said, hey, the second you prayed, heaven moved. That's a great thought. I circle this in my Bible. I always go back to, I'm like, I need angels to move on my behalf, Lord. Execute your will in Jesus' name. I know when I pray, heaven moves. Because why? Because that's what God says. Because you sit in heavenly places with him, and if, according to Ephesians, you're part of his, you're part of the kingdom of God. And you have authority. And so when you pray, things happen. Matthew 6 says, when you ask in secret, you're rewarded openly. So you get to see there's things, and your Father knows what you ask before you ask it, knows what you need before you ask it. So you're seeing behind the curtain like, oh, God's got it ready. God already knows what you need. It, God already knows what you have, because I'll call it this way, prayer gives you a peek in God's closet. Prayer gives you a peek in God's, it made me think of a story when my kids were little, and they were, I don't think we have any littles in here, I'm sorry, Christmas, just la 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 la, we're talking about Christmas and how awesome Santa is. So if your kid's in here, we're about to make a reveal. So we would hide the in the presents in my in our walk-in closet. And so we have the walk-in closet. We'd have all the presents back there. And I was just like, Dad, my son came to me and goes, Dad, can I go borrow something? I said, oh, yeah, it's in my closet. Just go grab it. So he goes back there to go grab it. And he walks in. He goes, what's all those presents doing there? Or like he saw a toy, like one of his toys in the closet. And I was like, what? Huh? And he's like, can you believe that? Like, that's like what I wanted as Santa for Christmas. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. I know we had him back there. Like, who would have thought? Crazy, right? And so we were just trying to like, nothing to see here. Move on, move on. But it was because, and then he gets it for Christmas from Santa. It's the whole point of like, as I was thinking about this, is like God gives us a prayer, a peek in God's closet. Like God's, when you pray, you're like, God, I'm believing that you want to provide this for me. I need this in my life. I've been praying for this. And when you pray, you get to kind of look and see like, ooh, it's coming. Because prayer says, hey, it's back there. It's just waiting. The timing will be perfect. I didn't give my son his water gun or like the super soaker he wanted or whatever it was. I didn't give him that the second he saw it. There was a right time for it. Right? Does that make sense? So let the Father release things at the timing that's right. And he gives you that ability to see in the closet the way he needs it. So even when I can't see him, he's working, right? You can't see it, but he's working. It's okay. Martin Luther King says this, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. That's what prayer is like, man. Come on, prayer is part of this. Number four, clarity for your personal life is proportionate to the quality of your prayer life. Clarity of your personal life, how you pray for situations determines how you perceive situations. Prayer gives you that discernment, this idea that you get to like see things and you get to get clarity for your life. You begin to understand where you're at, so you can go where you need to go. Number five, pray vaguely and God answers vaguely. So get specific. Right? I also say casual prayers get casual answers, but intentional prayers get intentional answers. That's part of what Ask, Seek, Pray is about. The more you pray, the more that you ask, and it'll be given to you. The Lord responds to that because he wants you. He's in a relationship, you know. He wants to hear from you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to know, the Father wants to know from his kids how you are, how you're doing, and what do you need? How can I bless you? And then trust God's perfect timing of when he's going to do it. I love that. All right, four things to pray for. First thing is this. This is the Pray For series. There's four things you want to do. First, pray for personal needs. It's hard to pray for yourself, I know, but to lead yourself well results in leading others well. Moms and dads, young adults, whatever, sees teenager, wherever you're at, when you get older and you have responsibility, it's always better to lead yourself. It's like put the mask in the airplane going down on you first. Breathe in the oxygen. You got to be able to get a healthy you creates a healthy us. Leading yourself well leads others well. To be able to inspire people, you've got to be able to be inspired first. So that's what prayer does. Philip Yancey says this, again, this guy in prayer, I love his stuff. In the presence of the great physician, my most appropriate contribution will be my wounds. You just get to show up and say, God, please heal me, touch me, save me, redeem me, speak to me, forgive me, whatever that is. Whatever, even if you need wisdom, It says, James 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It'll be given. Come on. When you come to God, there's a reliance on God. It may feel selfish to pray for you, but you're relying on God. You're modeling it to your friends that you rely on God. You're modeling it to your kids that you rely on God. All right, pray for others. Pray for your enemies. And I want to focus on enemies because praying for enemies is something that we don't probably do a lot. Maybe you walk through a difficult friendship and something happened in your friendship and your friendship went sideways. Maybe there's a coworker at work. Maybe it's a family member that kind of went zany on you. Maybe it's just a relationship that you just valued and treasured. And it's just, maybe it's someone who believes different politically than you. Maybe it's someone that believes different, maybe voted different than you. I don't know what the breach of the divide is, but you got to pray for them. You got to pray for them. Whoever is politically in charge, you should be praying for them. Because you know why? Whoever is your boss is crazy. Like, pray for them. Like, I know it's so hard. But when God says this, it's because God will give you a perspective on who they are. It might even show you what's wrong with them and why they're doing what they do. It might give you a compassion. I went out and met with a young man recently, and you know, he's kind of he's been to our church twice, and he's not connected to any of the groups or anything like that. He's just a rando guy that he's asked me to go out with him, and I went out with him, and I thought, you know, he's a little odd. But his backstory makes sense now. And he kind of said something to me. I was like, dude, why would you say that to me? You're kind of weird. I'm like, oh, great. Now I got to figure out, like, what. And so I was going out there. I'm like, okay. You know, like, he said something rude to me. But when I went out with him, I realized, oh, now I know why you did that. Because I got to the backstory of why that is and why he says the things he does. And I thought, that makes sense now. That's the whole situation. That's why, because their father had gave him a very unique upbringing. It's just the thought of just saying, prayer gives you a compassion to go the distance till you can get to those stories, right? Prayer gives you the grace to say, I got to work with that woman in the cubicle next to me for 5 years. And then you start getting their story down and you're like, that makes sense now. Now I have a compassion to pray for them. Because guess what? You were probably on assignment to lead them to Christ. Who are you surrounded with at your job? If you're following God and you're saying, God, if you're saying, I actually believe God gave me this job. I believe God provided this job for me. And when you say that, and then you say, I'm working at this company, I'm doing this thing. When you do this and you say, all right, I think God called me, then that means you're on assignment to lead people to Christ like we were talking about. That's what you get to do. And so all that to say, pray for your enemies. It says in Luke 6, it says, verse 27, 28, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. When you do that, it gives you that grace and compassion that you need. Number three, pray for the power. Come on, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are a charismatic church that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need a deeper, more constant experience of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus invites us to ask for this. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's, you look at Paul, who was very Jewish liturgical back in the day. He experiences Christ's salvation, and then he gets filled with the Spirit, and now you look at this list of things that he talks about. He's like, pray in the Spirit at all times, interpret tongues, pray with the Spirit in your mind, pray for the grace of God to pour out, equip and pray for restoration, pray with joy in all experiences and circumstances, pray to know God with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, pray for others to know the love of Christ, Colossians 4:2. I quoted a bunch from Corinthians and Colossians. If you want to see someone who didn't grow up empowered by the Spirit, zero, grew up religious, however we're going to call it, then experiences Christ and now gets filled with the Spirit, read 1 Corinthians, read 2 Corinthians, read Philippians, read Colossians, read Thessalonians. All of these letters is a man, he talks about it in Philippians 4. He says, I count all that liturgy as dung. I count all my effort. I count all my spiritual effort as nothing compared to knowing Christ and having the Spirit of God. So if you want to be like, I need to grow in the Holy Spirit, you know what? Then start reading these books and see what Paul wrote about, because he's living a life empowered by the Spirit. Woo, come on, somebody. All right. Charles Spurgeon, prayer is the forerunner of mercy. Absolutely. Billy Graham, true prayer is a way of life, not just for use in cases of emergency. Make it a habit, and when the need arises, you will be in practice. Come on. And then lastly, we want to pray for direction. We all need a prayer for direction. And so I need someone very special to come up, and she's going to preach. And I mean, she's going to tell you the truth. I'm preaching on this last point. Can you make some noise for Brooke as she comes up here? Brooke, amazing.
Hi.
Brooke Whitebrook, we love you so much. You are amazing. Oh my gosh. Thank you for coming up and helping me.
Of course.
I love it. I love it. Your fancy shoes. I'm like, I need to get taller. Did you notice that? I was like, hey. All right.
And I'm
anyways,
shrunk, yeah.
But here's the deal. Brooke, you were up here for a reason, because first of all, tell us about, you've gone to church here. Give us your quick church history.
Yeah, so my family and I have been going to church here ever since the River Valley was at Eastridge High School, so years and years ago.
Okay, OGs. You got any OGs out in here that were back in the day with us? Absolutely. Yes. You know who you are. Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. And yeah, they serve and they do all these kind of things.
Yeah,
which is
and
great.
My family greets every third week of the month, so that's been a blessing. Yeah,
I love it. Well, and you obviously went to youth here, and you are a young adult, and so I just love our young adult ministry. Shout out to Aaron for being an amazing leader of our young adults. We love you, so awesome. And our young adult community, like we just, I was a youth pastor at River Valley for so long, and so I love my youth and my young adults. So I wanted you to come up and talk about direction, because you went in a direction, and it's kind of like we would call it like Jonah. We were talking on the phone, and I was like, "You need to share this story, because I know you're going to be sharing at your school, your alma mater, and you're saying, hey, I kind of had a Jonah experience where I kind of went one direction, and God wasn't really in it. God still loved you. Just because you go in the wrong direction doesn't mean God doesn't love you. God's with you through it, kind of like Jonah." And then there was a turnaround. So you want to talk about that? That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. So years and years ago, I had the calling of ministry put on my life. And I was so afraid of that calling. And so I said no to the Lord and no to where he wanted me to go. And instead, I pursued what I wanted to and did whatever I thought was best, and that was volleyball. The Lord did gift me with the ability to play, and so I took that and I ran with it, and I went my own way, and I pursued a Division I scholarship in Louisiana, and that's where I was my first semester of college a couple months ago. And the calling that the Lord put on me to pursue ministry and be a part of that was not even in my mind anymore, because whenever I wanted to pursue the Lord and be in relationship with him, he would put that ministry idea in my head and I would say, nope, I'm good. I want to pursue what I want to pursue and kind of go my own way, like Jonah. And so I was never able to like foster and grow that relationship because I was saying no to the Lord. And so at Nichols, where I was in Louisiana, from the outside perspective, it looked like everything was going great. I mean, I was playing Division I volleyball. I had a boyfriend on the football team, and I was in college, like college life. That's exciting. But inside, I was really struggling. Socially, I had no friends, no one on the team that I could go to and just be friends with. I really struggled with my self-confidence and doubting everything I did, which is something I wasn't used to. Physically, there were a lot of weird things that happened in Louisiana, like a lot of different hives that I had, excessive bruising that doctors didn't know what that was about. And then I also dealt with Charlie horses in my calves 1 to 2 times every night. And it was just the Lord giving me little nudges like, hey, I don't know if this is where I want you to be. And I kind of ignored that and again, went my own way. And another thing that I did develop was sleep paralysis. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a very scary thing that people deal with, especially for someone who's a freshman in college, 16 hours away from home, all alone with no one to talk to. Thankfully, I did have my parents through FaceTime, and they were able to help me with that. But it was a really terrifying experience for me. And again, I feel like the Lord was nudging me and just like Jonah, using that to just like, hey, maybe let's go in the other direction. And even then, I still wasn't quite sure. And so my dad actually had an idea of transferring, and I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. Okay, let's look at that. And through prayer and a lot of people praying for me, I was able to go to Liberty University in the spring, and that was such a blessing. But even then, I really didn't pray about it myself, and praise the Lord that I was put at Liberty. And so I get to Liberty, and I was like, okay, great. I'm in a Christian community with people that are going to support me, love me, pray with me, worship with me. This is great. And I thought that I would be completely healed from everything just because I was in that community. However, I wasn't making a personal choice to follow him and to really say yes to the direction he was leading me in. And so one night I had a really scary episode of sleep paralysis, and it was terrifying. And I was like, Lord, what's going on? I thought I was healed of this because I'm at Liberty. And it was something that I had to work through. And through a friend, he was able to pray with me, and the Lord was able to use him. And he said to me, he was like, I'll pray for you, but you have to fully believe that the Lord is going to heal you. And you have to say yes to that. And I was like, okay, I surrender, and let's do this. Let's pray for this. And we prayed, and not once have I dealt with sleep paralysis, and it's been such a blessing to see the Lord move. Yeah. And a couple weeks go by, and I was sitting at a chapel service, and the speaker was like, today is the day to take a stand and to recommit your life and to say yes to the direction that the Lord is calling you to. And I was like, okay, that's me. Yep. All right, Lord, let's do this. And so I stood up and I recommitted my life to the Lord, and I said yes to wherever he wanted me to go. I fully surrendered. And it's been such a joy just to, again, have that ministry calling again on my life and hearing that again, and not being afraid of that anymore and really saying yes to that and seeing where the Lord's going to take me. I don't exactly know where I'm going to go, but wherever the Lord takes me, I'm going to say yes and amen to that. So in the summer right now, I'm going to participate in RVLI here at River Valley and do that internship. So thank you, River Valley, for that opportunity. And I just can't wait to see where the Lord is going to take me and the direction he's going to lead me in.
Come on. That's amazing. We are so proud of you. Thank you for sharing that. I love it. And hey, one more round of applause for Brooke and being vulnerable. I wanted her to share that story as we close here, because you know, it's praying for direction is really important, and asking God to say, God, is this what you have? You know, like, she's gifted in volleyball, and she's like, I'm going to go where the best scholarship is, but that wasn't the best place. God just sent me a relationship. Wow, I got a boyfriend. I've always wanted a college boyfriend. Wrong fit. You know what? I'm going to follow God wholeheartedly. And then it's like, wow, the enemy's attacking me in ways that I don't know what to do. And how great is it that she has a Christian community, praying friends, people around her, a biblical community that says, we're going to believe in you and for you in this. And so it's just, that's so important for direction in life. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Stop for a moment. Look at the people that are surrounding you right now. The people you spend the five people you spend the most time with, Are they believers? Do they pray? Do they love God? Who are your friends at church that you spend the most time with? Are they on fire? Are they praying? Are they asking you for prayer? Who are the people that you're surrounded with? Are they on mission? Are they going in God's direction? I'm asking you, take an inventory. Think about it, because that's so important, because when you see and you look around, you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to need to make some changes. And I want to get closer to God and pray. And so I want to take a moment to pray for you in this place here today. And so I just want you just to bow your heads. And Brooke kind of prompted it when she says, take a stand for these things. And so we're going to take a moment to be able to just to stand for certain things, because we want to pray for you. Okay, so maybe you're in this place today and you're saying, you know what, I'm dealing with some relational strife. I've got some unforgiveness. There's a relationship gone sideways, a work colleague, someone at work, a family member, an ex-relationship, a mother or a father who didn't, you know, who you felt, you know, was, didn't give you the best child, or whatever you're dealing with. You've got a resentment. There's an unforgiveness there. I want you to go ahead and stand up. Next, for those of you that are going to say, I need clarity on a direction in my life. I'm like Brooke. I am like looking for that clarity. I'm saying, God, I need to make some decisions. I want to go in the right direction. I don't want to pull a Nichols when I'm supposed to be a Liberty. You know, we don't want where I need to make the right turn, go the right direction. Go ahead and stand if that's you. Next, for some of you in here, if you're saying, listen, I need God to provide. I'm asking God to move in my business, to move in my situation. I'm asking God to bring provision for me. Pray for provision. Pray for God to provide and meet needs for you. Take a moment to stand. Next, you might say, I need godly relationships. I need people in my life that need to surround me and like give me some godly advice. And I'm needing biblical community. I feel alone. I need God to give me friends. Take a moment, take stand. Maybe you're in here today and you're saying, and you're in here and you're going, and you're saying, hey, listen, I need God to be able to heal my body. I need to pray for healing. I need God to do a miracle in my body. I need God to do something in my body that's going to be able to let the, by the stripes of Christ be healed and experience a miracle. God's got a miracle in the back of the closet. I've seen in the back of the closet, there's a wrapped healing waiting for me like that. Illustration. Stand up if you need a touch in your body. Okay, now for the rest of us, I want you to go ahead, before you stand up, I want you to go ahead and go to that person that's near you and go ahead and kind of surround them and just put a hand on them, and we're just going to agree in prayer, all right? And I'll kind of lead us in that. So could you just go ahead, and if there's someone standing next to you, just put a hand on their shoulder. If you want to go and move around a little bit, you can, but let's have the rest of us stand up and we're going to pray right now. So would you go ahead and join me in prayer in this moment? And maybe you might even be here. One more of you might say, listen, I need to know if Jesus is real. I want him to experience Jesus now. I want a touch from Jesus in my life. I want to know him. Then pray this prayer as well. So let's pray this together. All right. So just go ahead. First, you start praying. Whatever your need is, ask God for it. The people around you may not know the need. That's okay. If you're standing next to someone, you can either ask him or just say, Jesus, meet the need. Jesus, provide. Jesus, show up in their need, whatever that is. Pray for blank. Jesus, show up in the blank. We know what, you know what they need before we ask it, it said. So we're saying, and how do you pray this, church? You're just praying, Jesus, provide. Jesus, meet the need. Jesus, show up. Jesus, bring the miracle. Bring the answer. Bring it. Talk to God. Pray to God. Start talking to the Lord on behalf of the person next to you. Just say, God, I pray you'd bless them. I have grace and peace. Grace and peace. Again, if you want to share your need, you can. You can just stop right in the middle. This is prayer. We're talking. Pause talking to God and talk to the person next to you if you need to. But we're just praying. Jesus, right now, we're saying, be healed in Jesus' name. We're applying the cross, the authority of Christ, the authority of Jesus to be able to come in by his stripes and wounds. We say, be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. We're speaking to nerves. We're speaking to spinal cords. We're speaking to mental things that require medicine. We're speaking to those things now. We're saying, be healed. Be whole. We're praying direction. Clarity, clarity, clarity. Show us the answer. We're saying, God, bring it to me. Show me the answer in Jesus' name. We're praying for the right relationships. We're praying for the right people to surround us in Jesus' name. We're praying for our enemies, that unforgiveness. We're saying, I forgive them, Father. I forgive them, Jesus, like you forgave me. Let it go. Just say it. Declare it. Be their forgiveness. I forgive them and move on. Just let it go. But like God, you just, this is your prayer, you're saying, God, I'm letting it go. That's your prayer. That's why you stood up. You're saying, I forgive them, and you're moving on. We're asking for grace and peace to abound. There's a Bible talks about a surpassing grace that's here, that's moving, and it's touching lives. Right now, grace touch you. Let the grace of God touch you. Let the that'll manifest as healing and forgiveness and provision and let peace. We're saying let the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ the Lord. We're saying thank you, God, for miracles in this place. Thank you, God. We got a peek in the closet. Thank you, God, that you're for us. Thank you, God. We're not just consuming. We're communing. We're saying, God, we need you. God, we love you. God, thank you that you're enough. Even if the miracle doesn't happen right now, he's enough, because the presence of God is all you need. The love of God manifests in this. The presence of God is all you need. Thank you, God, for an awesome church that believes in each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together. God is awesome.